Welcome to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for joining us this week on Building the Bakken, the most trusted energy brand in the Bakken today. As I mentioned a moment ago, Building the Bakken is part of the Crude Life Media Network. That means it's not a political program, rather an informational brand. There's no polarizing talk, just conversations about the facts of the energy industry. Here at the Crude Life Media Network, we generate positive energy. With programs like Building the Bakken, we are able to tell stories about the people, the communities, and the companies within the industry, those who are involved with the evolution of the Bakken oil field and the oil and gas industry. It's Shale Play USA, baby, and it's changing the way that we do and work and have culture all across the United States. All right, now on today's episode of Building the Bakken Radio, we have a fantastic program. We start off with our weekly Davis Refinery update. We talk with Dan Hedrington from SEH. Dan is a regular guest on the program. He's been our boots on the ground from the private sector, if you will. We've had a lot of talk with public officials as well as some local people from the Belfield-Dickinson area. And Dan Hedrington has been involved on the regulatory side, the red tape side, the actual from the beginning side. So he's been just a wealth of knowledge to us, and we really appreciate the time that he takes to update us so we can update you to find out what is the latest on the Davis Refinery. You're going to be shocked, actually. You know, those 11,000 emails that they received in terms of people commenting on the Davis Refinery and the air quality permit, like 99% of them were duplicates. Of course, we have the health department on, Terry O'Claire, that talked about that. Dan goes a step further and kind of breaks it down a little bit more on those 11,000 emails from the Davis Refinery and the public comments. So Dan Hedrington on in just a bit to talk about that and kind of what the next steps are as well. So fantastic interview coming up here in just a moment with Dan Hedrington with SEH and our weekly Davis Refinery update. And then we talk with Richard Wardner, North Dakota Senate Majority Leader. There's a big push right now in the Bakken for hub cities and hub city financing. And Wardner explains the reason why this is needed. He explains what quality of life means out in the Bakken, what energy companies are looking for in terms of a community, and what the community is willing to give. It's a great interview with Richard Wardner, the North Dakota Senate Majority Leader, talking about expectations and deliveries on the oil and gas communities out in the Bakken, specifically Dickinson, Minot, and Williston. And then we talk with Walter Bridenstine with Gas Techno Energy and Fuels. This is a great interview for two reasons. One, he's got this new innovative technology when it comes with gas gathering. And the other interesting part comes, he's still living on site. So, you know, remember back in the old days when people were living all over the different places of the Bakken? Well, this guy's doing it old school. He's living next to the well on site so he can monitor, keep tabs, make sure that this gas gathering facility and mechanism and process that he has is operating efficiently and the energy companies are getting the best bang for their buck. So it's a great interview a little bit later on, Walter Bridenstine with Gas Techno Energy and Fuels. All that plus much more on today's episode of Building the Bakken Radio. My name is Jason Spies and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
When you get to know Eric, and he is so willing to share with you how growing up, you know, his life was impacted by an outstanding mom and the challenges that he may be faced. When he's willing to open up and talk about those things, you're immediately drawn in. And that's that vulnerability that I think that he has publicly said, it's okay to be yourself. And it's okay for you to make mistakes along the way.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. This week on our weekly Davis Refinery update, we talk with Dan Hedrington with SEH.
things are actually going quite well. And as you're aware from the last interviews we've done and the last conversations we've had, the permitting on this project, it takes a little bit of time. It's a highly regulated project. There are, you know, over 30 permits that have to be secured for the development of something like this. The big item that we're going through right now is the air quality permit. That is facilitated by the Department of Health through the state of North Dakota. The permit itself was fully reviewed by the state, by the air quality folks, and a draft permit was issued. And then what that does is that triggers a public comment period so that people, you know, anybody can kind of, you know, comment on you know, the project itself and the emissions or the air impacts, you know, that the project may or may not have. So that is typically a 30-day process, a 30-day public comment period, but the state extended it to 45 days in this case because it happened over the holidays, over Christmas and New Year's. So they added some additional days on it, and then on January 17th, there a public hearing was held in Dickinson, so anybody from the public could just come and, you know, speak or offer written testimony or verbal testimony in regards to the project. We were very pleased by the amount of people that showed up there, and I'd say that for the attendees, about 80% of the people that showed up were supportive, and about 20% that you know had some concerns about the project, and the majority of the speakers were actually those that had concerns for the project. But either way, all of the testimony was taken by the state. And once they collect all of the written testimony, verbal testimony, all the comments that were submitted over a period of time, over that 45-day period, then the Meridian team has an opportunity to review them and then offer responses to those comments or those questions. And then we provide that back to the state. The state then goes through and, you know, kind of reviews those comments, our responses, and then they add, you know, additional things that they might think is important to those comments. And then at that point, the state makes final decisions as to when the permit will be issued or how that takes place. So right now, like I said, the comment period is over. That ended, I believe, on January 26th. The public hearing was held on January 17th. And now we're going through the response portion of the timeline. It's going very well. A lot of comments were received, in general in comparison to what, you know, the state of North Dakota typically gets for projects. But I think it's a unique project, and there were a tremendous amount of form letters that were actually sent in. So different groups were asking members of their groups to submit these form letters where they can click on it and then they submit it and it gets submitted on their behalf. So a tremendous amount of the comments were form letters.
To listen to the full-length interview with Dan Hetherington with SEH or to listen to other Davis Refinery updates, visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter. All of those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life.
Driving home in the corner of your home at night. Watch it shine so bright.
June 15th, save the date. That's June 15th, the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. That's June 15th. Be sure to save the date today, and we'll see you June 15th at the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com, click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies. Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? You need a raise.
Jason Spies.
listen to the full-length interview with Dan Hetherington with SEH or to listen to other Davis Refinery updates, visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter. All of those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Joined now with Senate Majority Leader Richard Wardner. And which district are you out of? I always say Dickinson area, but what's the official way to, I guess, announce your district, if I could, please?
Well, I serve District 37, and it is Dickinson. It's in the city of Dickinson, yes.
Okay, great. And we're bringing him on today, Mr. Wardner, to talk a little bit about Hub City funding, which is extremely important when we're talking about the world of the Bakken and energy development. And, of course, the way these shale plays are so connected that it goes well beyond just North Dakota. That's what we found out during the recent Bakken boom. So let's maybe set the table a little bit here and just kind of get an overview of Hub City funding and what it's all about, so people can kind of have an understanding just of the overview of it, if you would, please.
Well, first of all, hub cities are very important. There are three hub cities that are out in the Bakken play. They are Dickinson, Williston, and at the current time. The idea and the concept for hub cities came in 2010, right before the 2011 legislative session. And Representative Bob Scarpa, who is from Ioga, was very disappointed that a neighboring city in his district, Crosby in Divide County, they got a much bigger allotment for their city, the city of Tioga. Of course, Tioga is in Williams County, which is with Williston. And so in the formula, the way the money was divvied up was that when the money came back to a county, then 45% went to the county for county. 35% went to the school districts in the county, and 20% went to the cities. Well, that 20% in Williams County had to be divvied up between Tioga, Ray, Glenora, Williston, whereas in Divide County, only Crosby and Noonan were basically the two communities, and so they got quite a bit more, and so he wanted to change. And that's where the concept of hub cities came along. And so they are funded differently, and they're not in that formula. They are taken out and funded separately. And so it was put into play. We convinced Governor Dalrymple that this was a good thing, and he put it in his budget. And so from 2011 to the current time, we have hub cities. What is a hub city? A hub city is a community of more than 12,000. They have to be over that. Second, when it came to funding it, we called it mining employment numbers, which meant they have to be directly involved in some type of job that is involved with the drilling aspect of the oil. And so those were the two main criteria, and of course, as I said, Dickinson, Williston, and Minot qualified, and that's where we were most of the time. We did deviate from that one time, and we used employment numbers from gas and oil employment. That one biennium did include some other cities, but we're back to mining numbers currently.
So if we go back to Governor Dalrymple and the years that this has kind of evolved, you've been pretty involved with it, obviously, with your representation, not only from a senatorial leadership position, but also just being in the thick of it out in Dickinson representing out there. What happened when there were some budget issues during the downturn and that sort of thing? And I know that a few of the cities, or Minot specifically, did not receive as much as they anticipated, and some other cities didn't receive too. And that goes outside of the hub cities. But speaking specifically to the financing part of it, and just over the last few years, kind of what happened there from your perspective?
Well, first of all, production was down and the price was down. So not only was Minot's allotment down with what they've got, but so was Lilith and so was Dickinson. So we've had to struggle through the last biennium to make sure that we take care of the stranded debt. And remember that Williston especially had to do a lot of infrastructure for the city to take care of the people that were coming. You know, Williston grew from a community of about 12 or 13 up to over 30,000 people. Dickinson grew from 16 up to 27,000. Minot grew, but they were a bigger community and they absorbed it a little bit better, but they were still a part of it. But what had happened is that when the price of oil went down, the production went down, and these communities didn't get as much. And we've had to live with that. And so the amount of money that each one got this biennium is less than what they had gotten, for example, in the 13-15 biennium. That was where they really got money, and they needed it. And we also, during that time, we had a thing called the surge. Now, the surge helped the cities, but it also helped the counties and the school districts and the townships out there. And that money went for infrastructure. And I want to tell you that that was really a critical piece of legislation, because during the time of the surge, once they got that money, they were able to catch up. They were so far behind on infrastructure at every political sub-level that things were not working out very well. But that gave them the boost so that they caught up. And I want you to know, as we go out into the Bakken at this time, the road infrastructure, the highways, the county roads, the ones that are needed, are in good shape. And thankfully they are, because the industry needs them in order to mine the product. In other words, drill for the oil and to produce it. So there was a good investment by the state of North Dakota in order to bring home more revenue to the state and help everyone out.
You know, when you talk about the infrastructure, I remember some of those roads out in Dickinson specifically in that area when Highway 22 was just a couple lanes. And now, you know, obviously 5-6 lanes or whatever it is now in certain areas. It's a night and day. And then, of course, you got the bypass, I think, out in Watford City and the Killdeer and just some of the infrastructure improvements on the roads that were, I think they're old muck roads, they were called, and then that sort of thing. So are we still doing some more major infrastructure improvements out there in the Bakken in terms of connecting these hub cities together? Just when I'm talking about the main arteries, are we still, you know, spending that surge money? Are we still kind of doing some of those, or did we get kind of caught up?
No, the surge money has pretty much been used up in infrastructure. As we speak today, I would say everything's in pretty good shape. They're working on Highway 85 from Watford City to Belfield. That is probably the last stretch that needs to be taken care of. They did put some turn lanes on 85, which made quite a difference. But I want you to know, when you talk about those highways, there was a time when there was someone dying at least weekly someplace in the Bakken.
Hold that thought. Senate Majority Leader Richard Wardner. We're talking a little bit about hub cities, hub city financing, and quality of life in just a moment. We're going to continue with that. This is North Dakota Senate Majority Leader Richard Wardner. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
But farmer's wife had set the pot to boil, and the dinner table was set. She had collard greens and a pot of baked beans, but she hadn't cooked the main course yet. Oh, it's good to mind your own business, but you better pay attention too. You might turn a blind eye on the world, but there's always an eye on you.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com. Click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com.
That hand should have seen it coming. A hatchet and a butcher block. But she was too wrapped up, strutting her stuff to see the water was getting hot.
Oh, it's good to mind your own business, but you better pay attention to. You might turn a blind eye on the world, but there's always an eye on you.
It seems everywhere I go these days, someone is telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what professional speaker Mark J. Lindquist has to say.
To see Eric Hatch grow his business and then start to share it with other people, I think is one of those great steps in life. You know, what do you do in society? You succeed at a thing and then you teach other people how you did it. And now to see Eric duplicating his genius across the country, I'm telling you, there's a world changer down the street, and his name is Eric Hatch.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit CoachingWithHatch.com. That's CoachingWithHatch.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies. Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? You need a raise.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota, is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota.
Meridian Energy Group. June 15th, that's the Bakken Barbecue. Mark your calendars today, June 15th, the Bakken Barbecue, coming to Dickinson, North Dakota. Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. We continue our discussion with Senate Majority Leader Richard Wardner with our hub cities, quality of life, and some of the other facets of infrastructure happening in the Bakken oil fields. Spending that surge money, are we still kind of doing some of those, or did we get kind of caught up?
No, the surge money has pretty much been used up in infrastructure. As we speak today, I would say everything's in pretty good shape. They're working on Highway 85 from Watford City to Belfield. That is probably the last stretch that needs to be taken care of. They did put some turn lanes on 85, which made quite a difference. But I want you to know, when you talk about those highways, there was a time when there was someone dying at least weekly someplace in the Bakken because of the highways. You don't hear that anymore. Those roads are safe, but there's passing lanes every so often. It's made a whole world of difference out there. And we're very thankful that we were able to make that investment to take care of it. It not only helps the industry, it helps public safety. It brought back the quality of life. And I just want to say this about hub cities. Those three hub cities have now become very important. They're the gateway to the Bakken. We are now in a point where we're recruiting workforce. We don't have enough workforce out there. And those communities need to have a quality of life that we can draw families from other parts of the country that want to come and live in Dickinson, Williston, and Minot and work in the oil and gas industry out in the Bakken. And the more people we get, it's the better for the state. We are growing, and we do have families coming. And all you have to do is take a look at the rolls at the hospitals, and the birth rates are way up compared to what they used to be. So we've got young families coming, but it's going to impact our schools. And our schools, you go to Williston and Dickinson and Minot, we need to build new schools because the kids are coming. Not that they aren't in other parts of the state, is. As you know, West Fargo and Bismarck, they're growing too. And so the pressure is going to be on to take care of our K-12 education infrastructure.
You mentioned about the lives and the quality of life, you know, to the tune of where people are not dying on the roads. That's an incredible turnaround when you think about it, because when I remember my first trip out in the Bakken was 2010. It was. And it was myself and the owner of Max Hardware. And we got on Highway 22 and we drove outside of Dickinson and we did not even make it to the Dunn County line. And we had stopped and turned around because we looked at each other and said, we have no business being out here except for treating the oil industry like the zoo. We're just going out here to observe. And this is really dangerous. I mean, it was that dangerous because there was that many semis coming and going, and it was two lanes back then. We did not even make it. I don't know. How far is the Dunn County line? 5 miles? I mean, we didn't even make it outside of town. We turned around. And then when you go there, the improvements that have been made on the key parts to make the quality of life to where you feel safe are incredible. And now I'm starting to see the layering in of that second wave of, you get some nice main streets that I hear so much about, and, you know, the family oriented schools and the new Watford City's got a gorgeous a new facility there, event center. And that's what I'm starting to hear more of, is the investment in these quality of life things that you're talking about, the entertainment and the hospitals and the emergency services, but also the new employees. Now, we're doing a lot of work down in Texas these days with the Permian and Eagleford, and we're hearing a lot of the same things up in the Bakken as down there, which is there's a certain level of employee that's coming into the energy industry, which is kind of eliminates that old nomadic worker of old. And so that's why the hub city funding and some of these quality and life investments are being highlighted. At least that's what I'm hearing. Senate Majority Richard Wardner, is that kind of what's happening here? The worker has changed to the tune to where they can now put a little bit of some roots in a community as opposed to the old nomadic worker.
Absolutely. You are right on the money on that. That's exactly what's happening. And, and of course, in North Dakota, we're excited to bring young and new families into the state. And if they've got good employment and they make good wages, it's really a plus. So there's no question. Things are changing.
What types of things are you hearing from the public out there that they want to see for the quality of life? I mean, we're talking about, you know, funding and doing those sorts of things. So what are the people talking about when they say the phrase quality of life?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting you asked that. I went to the governor's Main Street Initiative. He had a summit here three weeks ago. And it's the same thing for these people that are coming in that are going to work in the oil patch as anybody. And they want things like walking trails, bike trails, fun shopping. They want to make sure that everybody has some type of a community center where they can work out. And by the way, Dickinson and Williston had that, or Dickinson had it in place before the Bakken hit. Williston built theirs during it, but those have been critical. And of course, Watford City has done the same thing. Those are critical to bringing and people in. But the big thing, I think, when it comes to bringing families in, and you talk about quality of life, we've got to have a good K-12 system. We've got to have good teachers, and we've got to have public safety. And those are challenges because it costs a lot of money to build new facilities, schools and that. It costs money to have good teachers. You know, we may have to take a good look at how we pay our educators. We need good math and science teachers, and we're not getting them. They're going to industry. They're going to other areas. And so that's a real challenge for us, to make sure we have an educational force that gets the job done. The second thing that we're dealing with in the state of North Dakota is the drug epidemic, the drug addiction, and it's affecting so many people in so many ways. And so we have our challenges, and we just got to take them head on and try to eliminate some of this this drug addiction and how we handle it, because it's all about public safety. People want to be safe. They want to have their kids go to get a good education, and they want to have a place to, like walking trails, or a quality of life that way with nature. And of course, the other thing that North Dakota has, a lot of people like to hunt. we have tremendous hunting opportunities here. So those are some things, and there's more, but those are some of the main things that these young people are looking for. And I just want to make the, I got to say, when the oil is produced, and as long as we can take care of the political subs out in the oil patch, remember that the rest of the state does well, too. We did put money, a lot of money into roads out of oil money that went to the eastern, or the, we'll call them the non-oil counties. They got money for roads, too. And I want you to know that some of that oil tax is dedicated to water.
To listen to the full-length interview with North Dakota Senate Majority Richard Wardner, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All those social media links could be available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Oh, coming up behind you, teeth in your neck. Snow on the road like the fingers of a ghost. Wind is crying through a crack in the window. No mercy from the dead black sky. It's you and the road in the middle of the night. It's you and the road in the middle of the night. Got glitter in the headlights, like silver sprites. They disappear like phantoms in the waves of white. Every drop of water in the world is ice, sharpened in the sickles like silver knives. The lines keep coming where the lanes divide. It's you and the road in the middle of the night. It's you and the road in the middle of the night. And you keep trying to tell yourself the sun will come up.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com, click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
It's all been warm, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
I got to watch him give a talk at TEDx Brookings, and I saw him come into his own, where he shared uncomfortable things from his past in a way that created a teaching environment. And Eric's somebody that could easily lead with all he's accomplished, and it's a long list.
To find out more information about Hatch coaching, or to have Eric Hatch come to your company or event, visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies. Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss
Meridian
watching
Energy,
this?
You need Bellfield, a raise. Bellfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, we talk with Walter Bridenstine with Gas Techno Energy and Fuels.
Walter Bridenstine, I'm the CEO of Gas Techno Energy and Fuels, operating here up in North Dakota.
Now, when you say operating here up in North Dakota, where's a home base for you people?
I'm based in northern Michigan, a small town near Traverse City, Petoskey, some people may have heard of.
No kidding, up in northern Michigan, huh? Here, I thought maybe you were from Texas or Louisiana or something like that. So you're based out of northern Michigan. You're up near Kenmare, up in the Bakken oil field. Are you in any other shale plays, or are you just up in the Bakken?
No, I moved up here in August last year with my my tool trailer and camped out in a hotel for a while, and then we started to assemble the equipment. And now I live up here on the oil field site in a skid shack.
Those sound like the old days of the 2012 Bakken boom. So you're actually kind of doing the old school work and live right on the site and everything. So what is it that you have going up there near Kenmare?
Well, we were selected by an operator here to help manage their gas flaring problem. And so they took a number of wells. They had nine wells that they tied together, small wells that are flaring individually at the well site. They tied them together with a pipeline distribution system, brought those to a central location near one of their saltwater disposal facilities. And we tied into that line, and now we gather the flare gas from those wells, and we process it on site by removing NGLs, natural gas liquids, from the flared associated gas. And we just in January moved our GTL plant up from Michigan, where we had it operating in a place called New Haven, Michigan, near Ithaca. And we've got it set up now to process not just NGLs, but also we'll make methanol from the associated gas.
So NGLs, is there a market for that currently? Is there a transportation that needs to be done, or are they just burning it right on site, I guess? Talk to me a little bit about the, after you get the NGL, what happens next?
Well, the market up here in North Dakota has been, from what I've learned since August, since working up here the last 6 months, is that NGLs are very common. They're produced by a lot of operators, One Oak, some of the midstream companies, and they transport those through large pipelines to Texas in Conway, and they separate those NGLs and fractionate them into methane, propane, butane, hexane, pentane, etc. And that's where that gives them access to, you know, international distribution markets, as well as, you know, into the Texas, chemical industry. So NGLs are very common up here, but if you don't have a pipeline to your facility, to your well pad, then you either flare the gas or you wait patiently to tie into a pipeline. And if the pipeline is not full, if that distribution line is not full, then you can sell your gas via pipeline to these big midstream operators, and then they'll send them off to Texas.
To listen to the full-length interview with Walter Bridenstine with Gas Techno Energy and Fuels, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All of those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
And it doesn't really matter where I go. There's only one place I could call my home. Where the nighttime lights earth and line on the horizon. Under the soft red glow of the wintertime sea clouds. And all the memories come falling down on me every time. Every time I roll back around.
The The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com, click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
I can almost feel the wind blow and taste that cool, dry, dusty autumn air in my mouth. Where the nighttime lights are from light on the horizon, under the soft red glow of a wintertime sunny cloud. And all the memories come falling down on me every time I roll back to town. Every time I roll back around.
And that concludes this week's episode of Building the Bakken Radio. Building the Bakken will be back next week at this time on this radio station. For a full list of our media affiliates, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. And from the staff at Building the Bakken, my name is Jason Spies. We're asking you to be safe, be happy, and make it a great day. Thank you, folks, for joining us. We'll see you next week.
Days when I feel lost and separated, and every step I take falls on foreign ground, and I feel like going back to North Dakota. Take a job, find a wife, and finally settle down. But right now I'm addicted to emotion and freedom that my selfish solitude provides. And I'd hate to think that I'd become a stranger to the place where I was born, where my heart still resides, where the nighttime lights earth and light on the horizon, under the soft red glow of a wintertime sunny cloud.
Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
One of the best things I can share is I've had an opportunity to sit down with a community leader and Eric. And we were talking, and this community leader said, you know, United Way, what's your connection there? And Eric said, you know, as a child, my family would have been a family that would have benefited from United Way programming. And you don't necessarily get to see that down the road, because you see someone who's been very successful in business and you see somebody who has helped a lot of other people along the way. But sometimes we don't stop to ask, you know, what's the why? What's your why behind that?
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet. The Davis Refinery, a project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
June 15th, save the date. That's June 15th, the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. That's June 15th. Be sure to save the date today, and we'll see you June 15th at the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota.